Station.
Well, hello and good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whichever salutation is pertinent to your location on this planet of ours. You are listening to the Dubious Goals Committee. Actually, you're probably not listening. Nobody's listening. Why am I still doing this? I don't even know. My name's Tobe, and I am the chairman. And as usual, we have absolutely nothing on the agenda. All I can tell you is I saw a bunch of turkeys today, and I took some pictures of them. Plus, I saw a marmot hanging out with the turkeys, but it was too far away to really get any decent pictures. Plus, I saw a cat today hanging out with the turkeys and doing turkey stuff. Turkeys aren't afraid of cats. This is the second time I've seen turkey and cat interaction, and absolutely nothing happens. I watched some Champions League today. I got to watch a couple games that made me happy. I'll probably get to see a rerun of a game tonight, plus all the highlight shows. Why am I talking about the Champions League when anybody who listens to this doesn't even know what I'm talking about? I have no idea. Well, no wonder nobody's listening. I talk about things that nobody knows what I'm talking about. Clearly, my audience is on a different continent. But then, ever since I was about 10 or 11 years old, I've known I've been more of a UEFA guy than a CONCACAF guy. And I mean that in all ways, even those not related to football. I guess there are some benefits to having nobody listen to your radio show. You can talk about anything you want. And so I think I will talk about something that I wouldn't normally talk about because nobody's listening. Except possibly for Petey Boy, who probably won't listen to it live, but we'll check it out in the archive. But you know what I was doing today, or was it yesterday? I don't know. It doesn't really even matter. I have a couple of headlights. Not car headlights, people headlights. Perhaps you've seen these flashlights that people wear on their head. They're attached by a couple of elastic straps, one that goes around your head and one that goes over the top of your head, and so this flashlight can sit right at your forehead, and it's real handy if you're a coal miner or if you work with small things and you need to have light up close. Yeah, I've got a couple of these for various reasons, and yesterday I was looking at one and I was sort of holding it upside down when I realized that, you know, just a couple of small elastic straps, this isn't a whole hell of a lot different than a bikini bottom for a girl. And of course, the next thought is, I wonder if I know any hot chicks who could wear this as a bikini bottom. And oh my goodness, I do. The old girlfriend. She's napping right now, but I am going to get her to put on this headlight as a bikini bottom, and I will take pictures of it. So, if you'd like to see photographs of my girlfriend wearing a headlight as a bikini, go ahead and email me and let me know. Or I'm probably hanging out in the Anon Radio of Calm on SDF, so if you think that's a good idea, let me know. You know how much I love to take pictures of my girlfriend. And you know how much she doesn't like to wear clothes. We'll get a shot of her in her new bikini. And of course now, my cat is meowing outside the door. So I might have to go see what, and now she stopped. She either walked away, or she's listening to me talk, wondering who the hell I'm talking to. Oh yes, and something else I was going to tell you. This is in entertainment news. I watched a movie last night. I finally saw one of the recent magic movies. Being as I kind of academically study magic, I often watch all the magic movies. I don't go to them when they're in the theaters. I wait for them to come on to TV because I'm so extraordinarily lazy and poor. And then I eventually watch them. I still haven't seen that Burt Wonderstone movie or whatever that was called. I really hate Steve Carell, so you can't blame me. And I don't blame myself either. But Olivia Wilde's in it. But for some reason... And did you know her real last name is Cockburn? Yeah, Olivia Cockburn is in it. But that still doesn't balance out the Steve Carell, so I haven't seen it yet. I'll probably wait until that comes on TV, and then I'll get around to watching it eventually. But the movie to which I refer at this time was entitled... crap. Now I don't even know if I ever really knew that it's called Now You See It. No? Or something like that. It's the one with Woody Harrelson and that cute girl with long red straight hair that's in a bunch of other stuff, and I have never known her name, but every time I see her I go, oh look, there's that cute red-haired girl who's always smiley and so bubbly and fun, and she's super super funny. And the guy who played Mark Zuckerberg in the Diary of a Douchebag movie or whatever that was called is in it. What's that kid's name? And like Heidelberg or something. And then that other guy who I used to hate, but I'm less annoyed by him now, and I think I found out that it's James Franco's little brother. And they all play magicians, and they all do magic tricks, and oh, it's just a hoot and a holler. And of course, I know you're asking yourself, Tobe, why would you watch these stupid movies? And well, it's not because I want to see cool magic tricks, because it's a movie. They're not going to show any real magic tricks. Give me a break. But I watch these magic movies for the same reason I tend to watch hacker movies. And that is just to see how they treat the subject, or how the general public actually perceives the subject. You know, in movies, they're playing to the lowest common denominator. And so, you're not going to see or learn anything from them, and they're not going to treat the subjects correctly or in any depth. And what they end up portraying is what people want to see. And so, when you watch a movie, you can get an idea of what people think a particular subject is about, whether it really is about that or not, or is accurate in any way. And it's a what's the word I'm looking for? It's a feedback loop, because then people go to see these movies and they learn things, or they think they're learning about this particular subject, and they actually learn the wrong thing. And you know how it goes. I used to have a girlfriend who was a nurse, and she liked to watch doctor TV shows, you know, all the stupid shows about medical stuff, all the dramas. And not because she was a nurse and she wanted to see medical stuff because that entertained her, but because she wanted to see them screw up medical stuff. Because it's a TV show, they're not real doctors, and the people who write those scripts aren't doctors, and so they don't know anything about medicine. They just look up stuff in a book and they find out interesting things and make crap up. And so, you know, I would watch her watch these TV shows, and she'd just start laughing at something and I wouldn't understand why. Then she'd explain, you know, the medical ridiculousness of what these fake doctors on TVs are doing, and I'm laughing. And when I was going out with her, you know, whenever there was computer stuff going on screen that was clearly bogus, you know, and I would laugh, then she would say, well, what's so funny? Why is that fake? Explain it to me. And I would explain it to her, and then she would laugh too. So that's why I watch magic movies, is to, you know, see fake magic tricks that are explained off in some stupid and hilarious manner, and also get an idea for what people's perception of how magic works really is. You know, You ask a layperson how a magic trick works, and they'll come up with all kinds of crazy, stupid ideas that aren't anywhere near the real thing. Just as you can ask them about computer stuff, they got no idea, and it's funny to hear what their ideas are. It's funny to hear how they think things work, because they're clearly wrong. You know, it's like asking a five-year-old how a car works, or how the TV works. You know, it's the same thing. Just when you hear it from an adult, it sounds even more ridiculous, because somebody that old who's that well-educated should know better. So I watched the movie from beginning to end, and there wasn't any magic in it, and I didn't glean anything in particular from the movie. I don't even remember what it's about, and I saw it less than 8 hours ago. The cute girl did some stuff, and she ran around in some boots, and that was about it. And there was a lot of fake stuff that was hilarious, of course. Some bubbles that were funny, and a lot of other fake stuff, and some stupid lights, and there was a bad logo, and there was it got predictable, because you think, okay, who's the secret ringleader? Well, in these movies, it's usually the guy you expect least, so it must be this guy. And then you wait until, you know, 10 minutes before the end of the movie, and you find out that you're right. It was that guy all along, of course. It's the only thing that makes any sense. And I don't even remember why I wanted to even talk about the movie. French girl was also in it, and I think she was the girl who was also in, what was the movie where she was the, she owned a movie theater in World War II? Was that Inglourious Basterds? Yeah, maybe so. So, yeah, you know, she wanders around, and I'm not entirely sure what purpose she served at all. Oh, she's the love interest of the main cop who's trying to catch the magicians who are really bank robbers, but not really, because it's kind of like Robin Hood. But I don't know if this movie went off as the way they meant it to. You know, I got it. I don't think they told the story quite as good as they could have, but, you know, that's just me. What do I know? My name's Tobe. You're listening to the Dubious Goals Committee. I'm going to take a break for a second while you listen to this.
Just to try it, I hope my boy. are so magical. Soft skin, red lips, so kissable. Hard to resist, so touchable. Too good to
of any institutional infraction. How about Father?
You certainly have not, 655321.
Scourging and the crowning with thorns. And I could video myself helping in and even taking charge of the tolchocking and the nailing in, being dressed in the height of Roman fashion. I didn't so much like the latter part of the book, which is more like all preachy talking than fighting and the old in out. I like the parts where these old Yehudis tolchok each other and then drink their Hebrew vino and getting onto the bed with their wives' handmaidens. That kept me going.
And we're back. You're listening to the Dubious Goals Committee on Anon Radio. My name is Tobe. I'm the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee, along with its president. And today, I guess we're talking about magic, or at least we were, and to continue on that particular subject. There's a few subfields of magic that I study up a little bit more than others. And one of those is the use and manufacture of holdouts. I love holdouts ever since I was a little kid. I got one in a magic kit that I received as a Christmas gift when I was probably 5, maybe 6 years old. It was before I was in school. And oh boy, that led me down an evil path. My first magic book, which, if I remember correctly, had a copyright of 1954. I still have it somewhere. I should go look, but that would take a minute, and I'm not going to waste your time. But in this book, there was actually some instructions on how to make one. But I didn't actually get around to making my first holdout, the Hank Vanisher variety, until I was about 8 years old, or possibly 7, no, see, I was in like 2nd grade, so I was about 8 years old. We'll just say I was 8. And when I was 8 years old, I discovered that the box that rolls of caps came in, and if you're old enough to remember rolls of paper caps, a 5-pack of caps, hold on a second, I just heard something outside. raccoons or possums might be here. And they're probably listening to me talking, wondering who I'm talking to. But anyway, a 5-pack of caps came in a little box, and the little box was perfect size for me holding in my hand. So when I was a kid, when I was 8 years old, I took 3 or 4 or 5 rubber bands and I chained them together, and then I taped one end of the chain of rubber bands to the bottom of the box, and I cut the top off the box on the other end, and then I didn't even bother to mount it or anything, mount the other end of the chain of rubber bands. I just sort of tied it to the belt loop on the back of my jeans. And then I would then use this holdout to vanish a handkerchief, which I did not have, so I just used Kleenexes. You know, use what you got. And it worked really well, strangely enough. And the funny thing about it is, if you know anything about magic and the use of holdouts, and the use of a hank vanisher, you're going to laugh to know that I would do this in a short sleeve shirt. You know, normally, if you're not a magician, you might like to know that normally this is something that you would use while you're wearing a jacket. just to cover the usage of it. But no, here's me at the age of 8. I've just got it tied to my butt, essentially. And, you know, I just carry this thing around. But, you know, when I'm holding it, you can't tell because my arm hides the rubber bands that are wrapped around my waist. And so, in the midst of me making my first holdout, my grandmother came to visit. My mom's mom, by herself, came to town for some reason. I don't really remember. She was just passing through on the way to something else, I guess. But, yeah, well, apparently she wanted to see a magic trick, and so I geared up, got the handkerchief, and she sat on the couch, and I stood in front of her, and, you know, she's just right at eye level where I'm holding this thing. It's just absolutely perfect. And I went ahead and went through the routine, and we get to the critical misdirection, and everything goes off without a hitch. I operate the holdout in the proper manner, meaning I let go of it. And one thing that I did not account for was the sound that this might make. Not that it makes a sound when it operates by itself, but it's on rubber bands, and so they're elastic, and, you know, I'm not wearing a coat or anything, so this thing goes flying, and it goes flapping around behind me. You can hear it hitting my leg and my butt, and going whap, whap, whap. And then if you're really paying attention, you can tell that it's dangling down between my legs now, but, you know, nobody's looking at that. Everybody's still looking at my fist where they think the handkerchief is. And so, it goes off without a hitch, even without this very funny side effect. And to make matters worse, you know, my grandmother is so smoked that her mind is just blown because, you know, she's watched the whole thing. She couldn't have missed anything. And, of course, this Kleenex just disappeared into thin air. Well, you know, my parents and my brother, they had seen this enough that they knew what was going on. They knew it was coming, and, you know, they're pretty much standing behind me, so they can see the holdout operating in all of its glory, you know, just flying around back there. And I proceeded to do something that magicians should never do. So kids, if you're listening to this, never ever do this. There's a rule that you should never break in magic, and I broke it on that occasion, and that rule is never do the same trick twice for the same audience. Because the more you do a trick, the more chances you give them to bust you, to figure it out, to see something that they weren't supposed to see. Because they're, you know, they're a little bit sharper now. They're waiting for something weird. No, I swear to God, I did this same magic trick for my grandmother 10 times in a row. Not just twice. And it got harder to do every time, because every time she just swore she was not going to take her eyes off my hand. And of course, the trick revolves around getting the person to not look at your hand for just a second. And that's when, you know, you usually talk to them. You just say something to them, and they will look up, and they will meet your eyes. And when you have eye contact, you let go. And next thing you know, you say, okay, now, well, watch my hand very carefully. And then, you know, you just keep talking for a while. And then magically you make the damn handkerchief or the Kleenex disappear. Oh, boy. It took me, after the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth time of doing this to my grandmother. Oh, my God. It got to be a real effort. I had to get real creative. But I managed to do it. And eventually I had to stop. Just because it was killing me. Things were getting too close. I was getting too close to the edit, getting too close to the fire. Oh boy. And that's probably my first experience of really, really going nuts on somebody with a holdout. There's been a guy on TV recently. There's been a lot of magicians on TV, and there's been magic shows. And there's been a bad magic show. What was that? It was supposed to be a bad reality show where it's magic and it's challenges, and it was just horrid. And yeah, then they had Penn and Teller as the judges, and oh my God, it was just too painful to watch, and so I didn't. And that's why the show's off the air, because nobody watched it. But there's another show. It might be on Science Fiction Channel. It might be, I don't even remember, and I feel terrible now, because now that I think about it, I don't know the name of the show. Did you expect anything more? No, of course you didn't. It might be called Street Magic or something stupid like that. I don't remember. There's another stupid show called Street Magic, and now I don't even remember the name of the magician, although I do remember that he was some type of British, and he was, he was ethnic-y looking. He was not your average white guy. And what was his name? I for some reason I want to say his name was Paul. And he was tall guy, had really super short hair, and real suave. Sometimes had a mustache and goatee, and very short, very close shaven type of deal. What's his name? Paul something other? Yeah. Anyway, this has been the only person of late, any magician recently, who has impressed me with anything he's done. Normally I see somebody doing magic on TV and I know exactly how it's done, and they're not even doing it very well. You know, I personally know people who can do that trick much better. And it annoys me to watch. But this guy, no. I got suckered into watching him because I saw a guy doing a magic trick. I said, okay, I better see what this idiot's doing. And he smoked my head. And I was like, oh my God. And I watched this guy's show for another 10 or 15 minutes, however much longer was in it. I was like, oh my God, that guy was actually good. How was he doing that? I couldn't figure it out. I mean, he blew me away. I was like, that's impossible. That can't be done. Blah, blah, blah. The first time I saw that guy, after his show, I had to turn the TV off and I had to sit and think for a while just to figure out. And it actually took me 10-15 minutes to figure it out. And I just realized, oh my God, after a while, you know, how would I do that? Well, the only possible way would be is if you had a holdout, but it went this way and you had a, oh my God, I don't believe it. Yes, this guy's using a holdout with some very special attachments, some accoutrement, so to speak. He's using a rivet, if you know what that is. I bet you don't, but you could look it up. And a special kind of holdout. I'm not going to tell you what kind, but oh, and he uses it in a very clever manner. So if you manage to catch this guy, watch him. I think his name's Paul. Speaks with a British accent and looks vaguely ethnic-y. And you're going to have to look it up. I can't, because we've run out of time and I got to get out of here. My name's Tobe. You've been listening to the daily meeting of the Dubious Goals Committee. This is a non-radio and I'm out of here. So bye, 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 bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.
76, подъезжай, футбольная, 2B.
29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35.